Family, youth ministry, and you. We talked about and have talked about for a long time three biblical concepts that need to be in the congregation. We have those. Do you remember what those are? Silence. So we don't remember what those are. Those are the church is a family. Do you remember?
Yes.
The church labors together. We do that. The church helps prepare youth. We talked about what family youth ministry is. We talked about it, those three models that it's not. We kind of summed it up by Ephesians 4, 15, and 16, each part providing, each joint providing the measured part. And so every one of us being involved in what youth ministry is. We talked about challenges. What are the challenges to youth and family ministry? We talked about that sometimes we can be a challenge if we're not doing our part. If every measured or every joint has a measured part they're doing, we ourselves can be a challenge if we're not doing our measured part. We talked about Satan, and we had a test to see if y'all knew who somebody was. We talked about understanding the reason for change. We talked about understanding who the youth are. They are youth, obviously. Do y'all know who you are? Okay. We talked about youth, who they are. We are ministering not so much, or not just for our youth, but preparing for future generations as well, that they are to be working and laborers together with us, that our expectations for youth are higher than just attendance. And so we expect them to be examples. We talked about challenges at PBL. We talked about the challenges of spiritual discipline, about relationships, and about concept of self as a challenge that was mentioned here at Palm Beach Lakes. So the question is, how are we going to address these challenges? You know, we talked about that we're not going to just do a New Year's resolution kind of addressing these things. And by that I mean we're not just going to get excited for a couple weeks and go out and buy that new suit or, you know, Under Armour stuff that makes you exercise better and lose more weight and use it for a couple months and then stop. We're not going to do that, okay? What we have to do in order for this kind of change to take place, we need to change culture. And that's what we're going to deal with today, changing culture. The changing of culture is a paradigm shift, is what they say in the business world. Y'all heard that before, paradigm shift? That's a fun word, right? It's fun. I like saying it paradigm. It's more fun that way. It helps me know how to spell it, too, because I can't spell. So what is culture? Guys, I'm opening this up to you. What is culture? If I said culture, definition, what would you say? Traditions, Fiddler on the Roof, right? What else? Yeah, specific behaviors of a group are part of cultures. Anything else? A way of life. Values are part of that. Examples. Excellent. So those are things that we think of when we think about culture. Those are things that we think about. There's a definition of culture, a very, very scholarly definition. There it is. Culture refers to the cumulative deposit of knowledge, experience, beliefs, values, attitudes, meanings, hierarchies, religion, notions of time, roles, spatial relations, concepts of the universe, and material objects and possessions acquired by a group of people in the course of generations through individual and group striving. That is the Spock, Star Wars, not Dr. Spock, Star Trek rather, sorry. One long sentence, yes, that's a Pauline sentence, you know. All right, that's culture. That's from some information from Texas A&M University professor on culture. But if we look at a few of these things, if we're going to put a big biblical perspective on this, instead of saying courses of generation through individual and group striving, I think through divine revelation would be a better explanation, right? If we put that spin on it, and we start looking at some of these things, notions of time, roles, spatial relations, concepts of the universe, material objects, possessions acquired, if we put that spin on it, you know, that's what we're going for. And when we talk about spatial relations, what are we talking about? What are we talking about when we talk about spatial relations? For example, just culture. Can I use you as an example? Can you stand up? And all you have to do is stand there, I promise. All right. Can you stand like right here? Not, I'm sorry, I wasn't very specific, was I? Can you stand right here? How you doing? This is like how we normally talk, right?
Yeah.
Like right here. But if I got right here and we talked.
That's too close.
That's a little awkward, isn't it? That's like, get away from me. That's, oh, you can sit down. That's all I had to do. That's awkward. That's spatial relation, guys. You know, when we talk about culture, there are cultures that will talk like that. And that's fine. You know, they get right up close, face to face like that. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And, you know, that's, but for others, that's awkward. And so in Paraguay, they talk a little closer. You know, their spatial bubble is a little closer. And so people were talking to me, and I kept backing up. You know, and what do? They keep going forward. And pretty soon, where am I? I have nowhere to go, right? I got on a subway one time in Chile. It was rush hour. I'm getting on the subway in the capital city of Chile. And, man, it was insane. It's worse than, you know, going to a concert or something like that and pushing in at the gates. You get on the subway, and you literally like this, pushed in on people, you know. And it's way awkward, you know, because you're touching people that you don't know, right? You don't sit that close to family. I mean, it's that kind of thing, right? And it's silent. Because generally, everybody, it's awkward for everybody, right? And everybody's silent, and I'm holding on. And this Paraguayan that was with me, he was like a few, like from a row over there away from me. And so I'm holding on like this, and it's dead silent, right? And so I say in Spanish, hey, Luis, it's a good thing I showered today, right? Silence. Rough crowd. Nobody said anything. But that's spatial relationship, and that's culturally defined, right? Those are things that are culturally defined, and that's what, and that depends on the group and where you're working with. And when we talk about things concerning divine revelation, we're talking about God things, defining things in God ways, all right? And that's when we start working at the spiritual aspect of this. Let's look at what culture is, looking at it as a picture. Culture primarily, it starts with values. Values. And we think of, what do we think of when we think of values? Things that are important to us. What else?
Morals.
Good and bad, right and wrong. Those are values. Those are things. And when we think about values, we think about those things, those core concepts that define who we are as far as things that are important to us. All right. Well, the next ring of a culture are rituals. What are some rituals? What are some rituals? You know, when we think about culture, guys, we're not thinking about so much just the church, but, you know, every family has a culture. Every family has a way they do things, things that work for them. You know, you go to a family's house, and you have dinner with the family, and they prepare this meal for you. At the end of the meal, to stack or not to stack the plates. Family culture, right? Family culture. Do I help? Or am I going to get reprimanded for helping in the kitchen? You know, culture. That's a family culture. And so what are some rituals that one might have?
Birthdays.
Birthdays? Is that a ritual?
Holiday celebrations.
Christmas.
Meals.
Meals can be a ritual, very much so.
Bedtimes.
Yes, they can be a ritual, can't they? Yeah. So basically, rituals are collective activities considered as socially essential. Socially essential. Ways of greeting also can be a ritual. How we respect one another. The next ring are heroes. And heroes are people who are, in a culture, they're real or sometimes fictional, but they are people who possess characteristics that are highly prized in a culture. Heroes are important to a culture. You know, when during the World War II, when they're trying to sell bonds and they're trying to, what did they do with World War II soldiers? Do you remember, guys, that were here? Do you remember? Okay, let's do it differently. What did we do with our soldiers that had done great things in order to sell bonds? They toured. They became heroes for the United States, for the cause, right? That's right. Actors, Mickey Rooney, some others. There were others. I can't remember. Jeremy Stewart? Ted Williams. Ted Williams. All right, now we're getting to the point I don't know who you're talking about, but but heroes. And every generation has them. Every generation has heroes. Who are the heroes of this generation? Culturally, American culture. Who are the heroes of this generation? Sports? Doctor Who is a fictional hero. That's British values, though. That's not really American. It may have values, but it's not American culture. All right. We'll argue about this later. But the... So heroes. Heroes are people who are examples that we can look to. We can tell children, you need to be like that guy, right? That's somebody who is living it. And then we get to symbols. Symbols can be words or gestures, pictures, objects that carry meaning. They're not the most significant part of a culture, but they are part of the culture. And every culture has those symbols. And so this is what culture is in a nutshell. Then finally you have practices. And practices, rituals, heroes, and symbols are all the visual aspects of a culture. But they all also, values included, are part of what support the practices of a culture. And so you define the practices of a culture by these things. Now, does that make sense spiritually for us? It does. We can make that application. Now, when we talk about culture as a family, redefining culture, and we talked about those challenges. How does that work? We have those challenges that we need to address. We have challenges in our family. We have challenges in our congregation. And we're going to align culture with what? We have a choice, right? We have a choice whether we're going to align culture with the world or with the Bible. There it is. And so we are going to define our values either by the Bible or by the world. And that's what comes down to, that's our spiritual battle. Is it not? When we talk about spiritual battles, and that, it's hard to visualize that, but what we're saying is, what are we going to allow to influence our core values? What are we going to allow to influence our core values? I'm not saying, guys, obviously we're living in this world. Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says to have no relation with immoral people. And he said, I'm not talking about immoral people of this world, or you'd have to go out of the world. You know, he goes on to say, I'm talking about immoral people who are in the church. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm saying is, what are we going to allow to influence us as a family, as a congregation? Does that make sense? All right, now, this is the focus of so much, because this is you as an individual, my core values. Well, you will have to decide these things. So this is at the heart of you as an individual. This is at the heart of us as a family of God. And this is at the heart of every one of our family units. This is the very crux of the matter. And some may say, well, that's not that important. Is it? Is this really that important? Is it really that big a deal? Let me give you an illustration to see why it is that big a deal. If you look at this picture of a tree, it's a nice tree. It's a pretty tree, right? That's a Sunday school tree right there. Now let's put some fruit on it. There it is, some fruit. Do you see where we're going with this? All right, let's put the next image up there. Oh, uh-oh. Do you see where we're going now? Genesis chapter 3, in verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. The woman had a culture. Eve had rules. Eve had values. And she allowed the serpent to say, well, no, that's not necessarily that big a deal. You're not really going to die. And we can insert our names here. The same lie is being sold over and over and over and over again. The same lie. And for us, it's acceptance, right? Because we want to be accepted in school, in work. We want to be a part of the group. But we're going to stand out if our values are different. And so we can insert name here. The serpent said to Josh, "You're not really going to die. It's not that big a deal if you don't do X." Do you see where we're going with this? It is that big a deal. This is the very heart of everything. We have to define our culture, our families, by the Bible. And so when the challenges come, you can say, no, we've made that decision. Here's our values, and all you have to do is line it up. Does it match up with this or not? Does that make sense? So that becomes the filter. And so when the challenges come, the decision's been made. Because we as a family have defined our values. We as a congregation and I as an individual have defined my values. Look at some values here in Galatians chapter 5. And these are just a few things. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Colossians says something very similar in Colossians chapter 3 verses 12 through 15. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Holy, just chosen of God, holy and beloved. That's set apart. That's different. These people put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. These are some values. And these aren't all the values that the Bible espouses, right? We can go on and talk about other things. But here's a list of core values that should define us as a church, us as individually family units, and as an individual. If we look at some other passages, look at some rituals. 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Is that a ritual we do? We hug, right? We've changed. That's culturally relevant greeting. In Paraguay, they still kiss. Do you know that? On each cheek. In Paraguay, the guys, when you greet a lady, you kiss every lady twice. A holy kiss, guys. The ladies, you know, they do that same kind of greeting. Are there any Argentines? Argentine descent? Okay, I can say this then. So the Argentines, they do it where the guys kiss each other too. And there are other cultures that do that too. They need to be saved too, but I'm glad I wasn't a missionary there, be kissing the guys. But that's culturally relevant. That's a cultural thing. We greet each other. That's saying you're important to me. Have you ever walked in somewhere and somebody just walked right by you without saying hello, how do you do, or anything? What does that feel like? This feels kind of awkward, doesn't it? Especially when we're supposed to be brothers and sisters. Yeah, so greeting is something we do. That's a ritual. Look at 1 Peter 3:21. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt or the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is that a ritual? It's a command. It's something we need to do. Look at Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Is that a ritual? Is that something that's important to us as a culture? Should it be important as a family and as an individual? That's something that we do. That is part of what defines us. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4, 23 through 24. But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Worship is something that we do for God. That is part of what defines us. And those rituals are defined by God. About heroes. If we talked about heroes of the faith, who would we bring up? Who are some of y'all's heroes? Joshua? I love that name. All right. Yeah. Tracy said David.
Yeah.
Judy says Daniel. Actually, no, who's first on my list? Daniel? Joseph? All right, we're killing that joke now, aren't we? Daniel, why would Daniel be a hero of culture war? Why would Daniel be a hero of culture war? He did what? He did not bend. What happened to Daniel culturally? Do you remember the story? He was minding his own business, right? Minding his own business. You know, he may have been in the palace area because he was part of that part of the family. And what happened? What happened? He got taken. They got taken. Remember? He got taken to captivity. What changed for Daniel? Everything. Did his name change? Yeah, that changed. Is name important as an identity? Yeah, name's important. Did his language change? The people he hung out with change?
The food he ate.
The food he ate. They tried to change that, didn't he? He said no. What else changed? Yeah. Remember who was taking care of Daniel? The keeper of the eunuchs. What else changed for Daniel? You don't have to say it, but you know what I'm saying. He was a eunuch. Identity issues. Do you see what I'm saying? Everything that could possibly change for an individual, could identify an individual, changed for Daniel. But remember what happened with Daniel. What could they not take away from Daniel? Through the whole book, what could they not take away from him? His belief. They could not take away his God. His values. His core values they could not take away from him. If I could pick an individual for my child to be exactly like, I don't care if they're popular. I don't care if they are successful. I don't care if they dig ditches for the rest of their life. If they could be like Daniel, I would be happy. Because he said no. He purposed in his heart. And you see that not in Daniel, but you see that in the rest of the guys, right? What did they say to the king when they were supposed to bow down? Do you remember that? This was actually kind of cool. I'll read this and kind of laugh because they were kind of brazen for a couple three guys there that are talking to the basically king of the known world, right? And so they were supposed to, when all the music played, you know, instruments we can't even pronounce, when those instruments play, they're supposed to bow down and worship the golden idol. And so, you know, the pressure to say, well, everybody else is doing it would have been pretty high, right? But I see this picture of these guys just kind of standing around, you know, the music plays and everybody else bows down. And they're kind of going like this. This is time to just kind of relax right now while they're doing that. And they get told on. And the king said, well, I'll let you do it. I'll let you, you know, do it here in front of me. And they said no. And they even said, we're not careful to answer you, O king, in this matter. Whoa. They didn't care. We are not careful. Our God will or is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. Culture war. Our youth are fighting those battles in school. You may be fighting those battles in work. We're fighting those battles at home. Home is front line for culture war. Your front door is a filter for what culture you want in or out of your home. That's front line. David was a good man. He had his faults, but he repented. Christ, you've heard it said, but I say unto you, culture war. Paul, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12. Culture war. These are heroes of the faith, icons of the core values that we espouse. Do we have those today? Jerry and Shirley Hopkins, heroes. How long have they been fighting battles? Johnny and Betty Davis, Bill and Inell Ingram, Dan and Judy Jenkins, are these heroes? Can we go to them and say, how'd you fight this battle? And this isn't just to lift them up and say how great they are, and they are awesome people, but there are other heroes who have fought battles here that we may never know about, but are still faithful. And we as a family can use them and go to them and say, how do you do this? What do I need to do? And those people can be mentoring us. Who teaches a soldier but a soldier who's been there? That's the concept. So that's how we get plugged in and help each other fight these wars. We don't stand back and say, man, if they just did this, that'd change their life. Well, tell them. And be ready to listen. That's hard sometimes, though, too, right? To be ready to listen. But we need to understand where it's coming from. If we are all have these values, that we're doing these things not for the glory of any one person, but to help each other and edify one another, providing that part, it makes all the more sense. Look at some symbols. In Exodus chapter 12, I have some examples of some symbols. In Exodus 12, and when your verses 26 through 27, and when your children say to you, what does this rite mean to you? And you shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt. Here's a symbol. The Passover was a symbol. Look in Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark. I mean, they couldn't cross the river. Cut off the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. When the priest stepped foot into the water, the waters parted. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Those are symbols. Those stones were a symbol. The Passover was a symbol of things that are important. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 24 and 25. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is a symbol. All right. So we are committed to changing culture. And we're going to do this. But there's some things we need to understand about this process. Have you ever heard of culture shock? Yep. Culture shock. Everybody has gone through a culture change. Everybody in here has gone through a culture change. If you've moved, if you've gone to a new school, if you've gone to a new workplace, there are those little nuances of a place where you have to kind of, you feel uncomfortable. You're excited to be there, but you feel a little bit uncomfortable until you realize just how things go. And then you might go into some challenges while you're there and accepting what's happening. And then you're in, okay? You're in the groove again. But when you change values, when you change core concepts. Karen and I went through this culture shock process the first time when we moved to Florida, actually. we didn't realize that until we actually started studying culture change and culture shock. We're like, wow, we went through that when we moved to Florida. But at the first stage is the honeymoon stage. What is honeymoon stage? What does that mean? It's the beginning. Everything's, wow, this is so awesome. Why this will be fun forever, right? Not in that voice, maybe, but in that concept, you know? Nothing could ever go wrong, right? Honeymoon when you're married. Anyway, we'll go on to something else. Culture shock. Works for marriages, too. Culture shock. When it gets to the point where it's just not fun anymore and it's work, right? There's high level of stress, anxieties. It's not like what you thought it was going to be. And when you go into a new culture, the first part is like, wow, this is neat. and you're just in this kind of, you know, Disneyland kind of mode. You're just taking it all in. And then when you get there, it's like, it's so different. You know, you can last for a couple of weeks, but then your patience is gone. Anxiety is high. And it's difficult. And that's when it struggles. And that's when we, you know, when we try to make a change in something, that's when we go back. That's when we turn around and go back, typically. When you've made New Year's resolutions, I'm going to change this. It's at that moment where you say, well, you've hung that, you know, those clothes up, those Under Armour garments, you've hung those up, and I'm not going to touch them again. Because it gets difficult. But you got to push through. You got to push through. So when you, as a parent, as a family group, you say, we're going to make, and I would suggest you do this. I would suggest you sit down with your family and say, we're going to change the things that don't align with the culture of the Bible. And you may know what those things are. Or you may need to sit down as a family and say, what do we have? What's going on in our family that doesn't match? Do you understand what I'm saying? And take stock and evaluate and say, we want these values to be our values. What do we need to get rid of, or what do we need to add to make that happen? And we as a family are going to do this. And we're going to push through when it gets difficult. When your friends start calling and saying, why aren't you coming out and doing this anymore? That's a battle line. You better win it. That's a battle line. We're going to make these changes. It's going to be difficult. You're going to go through culture shock. It's going to be frustrating at times. Why can't they just do it this way? You go through, you know, I went through this stage, but why can't they just do everything the right way? As though I know the best way of doing things, right? But after that point, you start to get adjusted. There's an adjustment stage where things are getting a little better. You're understanding, you're learning new habits, forming new ways of thinking, forming new ways of doing things, new verbiage, new vocabulary start coming out of your mouth that you didn't know were there before. It's through change, slow change. This is not flipping a switch. Are we getting this picture? This is not something we do every day. And you're going to be fighting a few battles along the way. But once you get there, you get to where you're adjusted to this new culture. What you have defined, or what the Bible defines as the core values for a family. As an individual, you may need to do this. There may be core values that you know you have, things, habits you have that are not lining up with the core values of the Bible as a family or as a congregation. There may be some things that we need to change. That's not my job to list those out right now, but you know what they are. Yes, sir.
I'm just thinking, I'll say coming out of the world.
Yep.
Coming
yes. Did you all hear that? He was saying that's very much the same thing that happens to a new convert. When they're coming out of the world, that's exactly what is happening to a new convert. And we wonder why 2 months later, a year later, they're not here anymore. Where'd they go? It got hard. And they couldn't find the help they needed at that moment. We're not going to lay fault at anybody's feet, but at that moment they couldn't find it. It got hardest when it got the darkest for them in the time of change. The pressure, they went back to the old habits. Because a lot of times you reach that point where it may just be a little easier just to back right up and go right back to where I was. Right back to those old habits. But we as a family need to bolster that person up. That's edifying. That's the edification process by its definition. Shoring them up so they can push through. Let's look at a few passages in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Behold, new things. Well, I'm sorry. I've got a New American Standard up there, and I have it memorized in another version. But that's the concept there. Old things are becoming new. There's a change. There's a process for us. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, 10, 11, to put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge. Again, we're changing the source of that knowledge. The world says, here's the knowledge, here's what you need to know, right? True knowledge. To a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Where's our example? Who's our hero? A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. There is no cultural barrier in Christ. Are we seeing that? Do you know how difficult it would have been to have those culture groups in a congregation? It's difficult when we're all from the same culture sometimes. But when you have people coming from... So these are polarized cultural differences. The only thing that can bring them together would be the principles that Christ has written down, God has written down for us. There have been battles fought over less, right? So we as a congregation need to come together. What is the end result? What are we striving for? Hebrews chapter 11, I love this chapter. What's Hebrews chapter 11 known for? Faith, right? And we look at these people. Here are people, if you want another list of people that changed culture, that said no, here's another list. Faith plus verb. And here's people who made a decision about their values, what they were going to hold on to. Well, here's another list of heroes. But he says in verses 13 through 16, all these died in faith without receiving the promises. And they were talking about some promises that were to come. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, they knew they were coming. They knew they were coming. I mean, it talks about Joseph making preparations for his bones. Sort of a weird thing to say, right? But what he said was, when the Exodus happens, carry my bones with you. They saw it from afar. They knew what was going to happen. And having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things, what things are they saying? Having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. This, if we're going to grasp who we are, we have to decide, I'm not from here. I'm not from here. So when the world says this is how you're supposed to do it, I can say, no, actually, it's not. I'm not from here. You know, being in Paraguay eats a lot of meat. I mean, Paraguayans in general eat a lot of meat. And they do barbecue. All right. But I had to design a Texas side-by-side smoker. I had to have one because they just weren't doing it quite right. So I drew pictures, downloaded images, gave them to some guys that were, you know, working on the fence and said, can y'all build this? They looked at it like they had never seen it. It was a spaceship, you know, and they're like, what is this? And I showed them what it was supposed to be, and they said, yeah, we can do that. And about a week later, they delivered my grill. And when I started making good barbecue, people said, this is awesome. And I said, yes, I know. But it's that concept, it's not from here, right? It's not from here. This is barbecue from the States. It's that same concept for us. Not from here. And so when this text says, they declared they were strangers and exiles, do you think they went around and said, hello, my name is Stranger and Exile? No, they didn't. They declared that by their actions, by their values, by the things they did, their rituals, their symbols, their heroes. That's how they defined. That's how they said, I am a stranger and an exile. This is not where I'm from. And for those who say such things, make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. In the end, it doesn't matter if we're Americans, Paraguayans, or any other culture. They could take all that away from me. I'm not from here. That's what Daniel said. I'm not from here. Now, of course, they can make it more difficult for me to worship my God, obviously. They could make it more difficult. But that's when we dig in more. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country and talking about a physical country for which they went out, they would have opportunity to return. Saying if they had been thinking about a physical place, they could have gone back, is what this verse is saying. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. That's end game. I want to change my culture for my family to go to the place that God has prepared for me and my family if our values are where they're supposed to be. That's end game. You know, we don't say these things, we don't preach these things, we're saying what the Bible says, and it's not popular because the world wants to do what the world wants to do. But has being godly ever been popular? Never. It never has. And so when we put on baptism, we're choosing a path that is not popular. But we're choosing a path that ends in a heavenly city that's prepared for us. So why is this important? Why is changing culture important? Because that's where we want to go. We are declaring as a congregation, as a family, an individual, we are not from here. And we who say these things are waiting for a better country. It's not about what's popular with my friends. It's not about what's easier to do at work. It's about saying, I want to go home to a better place. I don't know why I'm crying. There's nothing to be sad about. But it's the concept that if we have all that together, how amazing is that? And that's the kind of youth group we want to have. That says, you may come into our youth group and be different, but we promise when you leave, you'll be different again. We'll change you. We'll have an impact on your life. And that's the kind of congregation we're going to have. It says, you may feel different when you come in, but we'll help you change and look like Christ. And that's the kind of family we're going to have, individual family groups. Every family group's going to have their culture, to stack or not to stack the plates, right? But the core of our families will be the same. Those core values. Can we pray about that? Can that be something that we can be striving together for and helping one another for? Parents, point out the heroes, parents. Point out those heroes. Talk about those heroes. And I'm not saying, you know, walking up to Jerry and say, you know, this is a hero, you know. But at the opportune times, you know, you can say, if you know Jerry, you can say, Jerry fought that battle too. Here's what he did. He's a great example. Joe, there's so many people here that can be great examples for our youth. Parents, tap into that. It's a resource that we need to use. Family, keep being examples. You can be a good example or you can be a bad example. You get to choose. You get to choose. Once somebody said to somebody, and we'll close with this. We're talking to somebody and said, well, I'm never gonna be a Christian and God will never have anything to do with me and I'll live my life the way I want to live my life. And this guy said, well, you know, God is using you. God is using you. Well, how is God using me? I have nothing to do with Him. He's using you as a bad example. So you can be a good example or a bad example, but we're going to change culture, all right? Next Wednesday, we're going to talk about nuts and bolts. We're going to talk about some things we're going to be doing, some things that you can get plugged into, some ways that we can help as a congregation to help you change the culture in your family and the congregation here. Questions? Comments? Shout-outs? All right. Be praying, please, about this and about the things that are to come. Thank you for being here.